myself. I'm a man of wealth. Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Bills. I'm your host, Kevin Misery, here with co-host Jason Shannon. Jason, what's going on, my man?
Kevin, I am doing great today. I am ready to talk draft pass rushers.
Yes, excited. As always, guys, we're going to jump into our draft segment following our roster breakdown yesterday with Nate and Jason, so give that a shout. That's the roster breakdown and defensive ends that we put up live yesterday. Really good. Get into that one and, you know, kind of check out where we're at the defensive end position, what we could do, who we could be looking at. We have, you know, really good, you know, thoughts in that roster breakdown series. So check that out weekly and all the other additions, cornerback, defensive tackle, defensive end now. So lots of good stuff in that, you know, roster breakdown series. And we obviously every Thursday or Friday, we follow that up with a defensive end show today. We'll be focusing seven key prospects, like we have most weeks, and talking about, you know, what we like about them, where they could fit, and, you know, where you know, we see them, you know, potentially going as well, which is, you know, as huge as anything. So we call this part one because we're probably going to revisit each of these positions way later on in the draft process, probably make a push in April to redo these part twos to see how much it's changed. And that's always like a really interesting process. So, you know, really getting started into this thing. And, you know, I want to start, you know, pretty much at the top as we do in most shows and, you know, talk about Bradley Chubb a little bit from NC State. You know, what is your initial reaction from Bradley, senior, 6'4", 275? You know, what do you see from him?
Yeah, so I'll start out with the positives here. Okay. Double-digit sacks the last 2 years. Beats one-on-ones, beats double teams. Unlike some of the other guys you could think of his size, you know, like a Mario Williams or Jadeveon Clowney, those big guys, those are big power guys, and you don't really see the bend or the flexibility, even though they, you know, both ended up being pretty good players in their own rights. You see in Bradley Chubb, he has that bend. He gets around blockers, uses his hands well. He's basically the perfect 4-3 DN. But you want to hear the negative?
Yes.
Yeah, we're just not going to be able to draft him. He's going to go top three. I think he's going to go to Indy.
You think
for sure he's a top 10 pick, but I think one of the first two or three teams that aren't taking a quarterback are going to take a long look at Bradley Chubb. I think he's going to be gone without a major trade-up.
He could be the Leonard Williams syndrome where like a couple of guys trade up for, you know, skill positions, quarterbacks. And, you know, he could be a guy that falls a couple, you know, picks lower than he should. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's all based on
not to 21, but I mean,
and yeah, definitely with the quarterbacks this year, but, you know, thinking about the guys that maybe could go ahead of him that aren't quarterbacks, you know, Saquon Barkley, maybe a Roquan Smith or somebody, but I don't see too many guys that are going to go ahead of him that aren't quarterbacks. So, you know, I don't have the draft order in front of me.
That sometimes jumps up.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I see it here. I've been hearing some Vita Vea hype coming on earlier, but I think Chubb's pretty solid in the top eight. And if I had to guess, I think he could be the first non-quarterback off the board in this draft.
Yeah, he very well could be.
And I've 44 tackles for loss the last 2 years. I mean, he's just your perfect speed and power size sort of defensive end that would be perfect for really our scheme. But, you know, that's a really tough price to ask.
And he's really good against the run, right? I mean, from all things I read and, you know, the scouting I've done so far, you know, it does say that he is able to, you know, play that run and play his gaps and techniques really strong. Is that what you've
seen? Yeah, you know, that's definitely what I saw. Yeah, I have to think about the last few years of Deion's, but he's about as high as I would grade one, just in terms of, I think he's a double-digit sack starter, probable Pro Bowler. I would definitely put all of my eggs in the basket. If I had to do it on one player in this draft, it's probably Chubb.
Okay. I think that that's fair, especially if you're not in the quarterback game. I think there's no doubt. You got to swing on a quarterback. It's obvious, and that, you know, that is what it is. But when it comes to everyone, you know, everywhere else, I think Chubb's the guy you're going to go with in this draft as the first not quarterback, potential not running back. So that could be anywhere from, you know, let's call it 3 to 6. But, you know, should really be in the 1 to 3 range. So, you know, getting into the next guys that could be more in the Bills range, you know, let's start talking about Marcus Davenport from UTSA, another senior, you know, really big guy, 6'7". You know, that's an interesting size, 255. What can you tell us about Davenport?
Yeah, so even in the last week, things have been up and down with him. He came into the Senior Bowl practices, and he had a huge buzz about him. is a guy that even a lot of scouts hadn't seen playing for University of Texas San Antonio. Came and weighed in, and when people saw the 6'6", 6'7", 255, and just saw him, they said, wow, this is a real defensive end. He went to practice the first few days and just got stood up by tackles, and it wasn't a great, you know, tackle class. If you watch him against reps, against, you know, like the Army guy that was there, Alex Kappa from Humboldt State, guys who are probably, you know, second to fourth, fifth round picks, he just couldn't get around him and couldn't get off of him. And you could definitely tell that maybe he hadn't faced guys even on that level. And if you look back at the tape, you can just see a guy who was so much stronger than his competition that he was just bowling people over. I mean, it's sort of like watching like one of the European basketball players play, you know, against Slovenian 6'5 centers. And you just look at the tape, or even like a Khalil Mack in the MAC. But the difference is like Khalil Mack did other things than just push people over. You know, you can definitely see it with his athleticism.
And you saw his best games against the best.
Against the best opponents. So Davenport didn't show that in the Senior Bowl, but in the actual game, he actually had a pretty good game. I think he scooped up a fumble, I want to say, a sack too. I only went through the game once. But, you know, 8.5 sacks last year, 6.5 the year before. So he was pretty good in that competition, but I just don't think he's ready, and I think he's going to have to adjust to real tackles. I think that I think he's molded into the size and the type of player that you would want, but I think he's going to take some getting used to the league for sure.
Okay, I can see that. I mean, he did set single season record with 17.5 tackles for a loss. He's a former basketball player, which I like. He does have that like really unlimited potential. I think Daniel Jeremiah has him, I think, number 10 overall, if I wasn't mistaken.
Yeah, I think he's the highest guy on there. I've also seen a mock at him going 7 to the Tampa Bay. It's pretty much the highest I've seen him. So it's definitely there. I think that stuff was pre-Senior Bowl. But again, I think if you're a guy that likes him, kind of like Josh Allen,
right,
you probably saw what you liked out of him. But he's a guy that's still growing. I mean, another thing, much like the Khalil Mack thing, is I think he got 3 scholarship offers in a D1.
Right.
And chose UTSA because I think he was like a 6'5", 200-pound kid coming out of high school. So he's still growing into that body and figuring out who he is. I think that I wouldn't take him in the first round. I think that somebody definitely will.
Right. Yeah, and he was Conference USA Defensive Player of the Year. So, I mean, that's not like a terrible talent. So that's interesting. Maybe just didn't have a great week, but up and down. He's interesting. He's going to have the intangibles and a character that I think will keep him in the top 20. I could be wrong.
Seems like a good kid. Everybody that talks to him likes him. I've seen the interviews. He seems likable. I don't think he's going to do anything there but help himself.
Right. And getting into a guy, you know, next that I really like, you know, kind of a different kind of story is Arden Key from LSU. You know, a guy I really want to talk about, junior, you know, 6'6", 238. Let's get into Key a little bit. What can you break down on Key?
Yeah, he's probably the most interesting story that's going to kind of unravel over the next 2 months. So when you see the best of him, and the best of him was definitely in 2016 when he had 12 sacks. He's really long at 6'6". He's explosive. He really just ran around tackles, reached out, could just snatch down quarterbacks. Definitely reminds me a lot of what Leonard Floyd looked like when he came out,
right?
Sort of just the really long, wiry guy. Obviously not wiry, he's a football player, but sort of in comparison to the guys at his position. But then when you just start listing off the things that might be a problem, he had shoulder surgery in 2016, which he was playing at like 220 the season that he was really good, got up to about 240 and definitely looked different in 2017 and ended up with only 4 sacks. So I don't know if the extra weight harmed him at all. It might have made him less explosive, but at the same time, I do think that getting up to at least 240 is going to be good for your NFL career as far as that goes, because you just can't play later than that at defensive end with your hand in the ground.
What is his actual weight? I mean, I was a little bit worried in the 230s. That kind of scares me. I mean, what does he actually weigh?
I he looked more in his senior season. He looked more like a 240s, close to 250 guy.
Okay.
He looked markedly different than he did as a junior. His dad, you know, his dad came out and said that he really refocused and gained 30 pounds. And some people are like, well, did he gain 30 pounds because he had shoulder surgery and sat out summer and spring practices, which brought up the next thing is that, there's just this big mystery character concerns thing that's going around about him. Every single scout talks about it. Every single scout thinks that they're going to figure it out. I bet NFL teams probably already have. Yep. And we just don't know about it because NFL teams figure out everything. But he had some sort of problem that basically made him leave practices for the entire summer and then spring practices before his final junior season. And it wasn't, people just can't explain it, but people don't seem to think it's a good thing, including some people thinking that maybe he got a suspension in there somewhere. And then he ended this season with a knee injury and then had surgery on his pinky. So if you do the bullet points of the cons there, they're pretty numerous there. But the thing is, if you watch him play and you watch him at his best, he's really a freak sort of talent and just, you know, the kind of guy that wherever you pick him is you're taking a chance on him, but there's such a high upside for him. I wouldn't be completely opposed to doing it, especially with all the extra picks we have.
Yeah. I love those 20 sacks too.
Yeah.
No, it was sacks. That's enough for me. That's about the number I'm looking for from guys that have been productive that can translate. 11 sacks last year. Do think there's something weird going on. It could be like academic issues in the classroom. You know, it could be really underlying nagging injuries that they didn't want to get into. Could have hurt himself off the field. Could have, you know, maybe something drug related or hopefully nothing, you know, beyond that.
Yeah. No, if you had just wiped out the season, if he had just come out as a sophomore, I think he's an easy top 10 pick.
Right.
But he had to be there this season due to eligibility or, you know, for the draft. And right. He stayed and he had a really sort of weird, you know, cyclone of a season. And he's going to have to tell NFL teams about it. And he's going to have to prove that he's healthy. So I think he's a guy going into the combine that is going to have a huge amount of fluctuation, because if he checks out, I think he's probably the second D end off the board. If things don't check out, I don't know. I mean, I think somebody's still going to take a chance on his talent, but I mean, we've seen, you know, top 10 guys drop into the late first, second round, just due to, you know, numerous of different types of situations.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's an interesting player and I really think that he plays a part in this interesting defensive end class, you know, where it could shake out, but could be a very strong, you know, where would you put him, you know, picks right now, if, you know, as of February 1st, you know, where is he?
I think he's a guy that is a late first that gets taken by a good team, sort of like you saw with, like Robert Kendiche.
Okay.
Even though, you know, mutually things haven't worked for Arizona or for him really. But that's the sort of prospect we're talking about, just a high level five-star type prospect that has to answer a few questions and somebody's going to have to take a chance on. And it's very possible that somebody with a little more of a solid team thinks that they can turn them around because the talent and the athleticism is definitely there.
Absolutely. Let's get into our next guy. You know, guy from Oklahoma, Ogbianya Okoronkwo.
Obanaya is that how it? Obanaya? I figured it. Obanaya just
was I right on the last name?
Okoronkwo, yes.
Okay, good. I actually think that was a harder one. Another guy to throw in this mix of with Davenport, with Key, you know, these guys that are just there, 6'1", 242. Get into him a little bit.
Yeah, so it, like just right from the start, I'm not a big fan of him, especially for where I've seen him get ranked. I've seen him, you know, I've heard scouts who I respect say, man, I don't even think he's in my top 100. And then at the same time, I've seen rankings that have him in the top 15.
Yeah.
Certainly productive, had 17 sacks the last 2 years. But when I watched it, it was just a lot of, you know, sort of effort, coverage sacks, playing on pretty decent defense in Oklahoma, you know, lots of passing downs in the Big 12. I think he's too small and not athletic enough to play, you know, D end or rush linebacker, like, you know, at a high level in the NFL. I see him get manhandled.
You don't see a little Jerry Hughes in him a little bit, or no, not. Athleticism Jerry developed.
I think Jerry Hughes has more athleticism, but also Jerry Hughes took 3 or 4 years to get his bearings under him. So I'm not sure. He goes to this weird spin move that like sometimes works, but I can just like see Joe Thomas just like putting a hand in his chest and putting him on his back. Like I'm not sure, but he's a guy that. And also another thing about, you know, rating him as a 4-3 defensive end is he played a lot of stand up, didn't have to put his hand in the ground a lot. So it was a lot of running around guys. And if you want him to play 4-3 D end, he's going to have to get bigger and he can't get taller. So I'm just not really sure about him. I think he's a guy that's going to really rely on testing out. And maybe if he tests out speed-wise and agility-wise as an above average or even an elite athlete, that probably totally changes the way that people are going to look at them. But I just like the first four, you know, I was watching, you know, the single game cut-ups of him trying to pick some of the better teams that they played against, like the Georgia game, some of the other ones. I had to go through like 4 games to see a good play from him. I actually had to stop after the 4th game and be like, all right, I have to just go to the highlight cut up and figure out like where he's getting these sacks from and how he's doing it, because some of those games were just brutal. And from what a lot of people said, his week at the Senior Bowl wasn't very good. He ended up getting a sack at the game, which, you know, was great. Good for him. That's the real life football there to an extent, you know, no blitzing, no motion, anything like that. But I don't see a first round sort of player in that. And I would actually be disappointed if he was a guy that we take in round 2 or 3.
Okay. And it's actually said that the Colts really like him, met with him extensively, fits their new scheme, 29.5 tackles for loss, 17 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, 6'1", 240, like we've said, projected day two pick, you know, probably I think does have enough production to be a second round pick, but we'll see, you know, if he kind of stays in that second round range, pushes himself up or pushes himself back into that third round. But I think he's really interesting one to watch as the combine and other events come closer. And he's one that can be affected the most, in my opinion, so far of the guys we've talked about. He has a lot to gain, could jump into the first or, you know, drop himself down to the late day two. So really interesting prospect there. That's what I like about this class. I do think the Bills play in this class a little bit. It's going to be interesting, you know, check out that draft, the roster breakdown series yesterday, you know, to learn a little bit more about what the Bills know, or, you know, what kind of shape they're in at these positions. You know, so that's really good to get a grasp on the defensive end spot. So getting into Jeff Holland from Auburn, another guy I like to talk about, 6'2", 249. What can you tell us about Jeff?
Yeah, so I certainly didn't see anything for him as a high pick. He's another guy that I think is getting talked about as maybe a 4-3 defensive end, but I think he's pretty purely going to be a 3-4. Rush linebacker, you know, again, almost the same exact size as Okoronkwo at about, you know, 6'1", 250 or so. He's a 1 year guy, 9.5 sacks. He played sparingly the 2 years before that. Obviously, Auburn has a lot of talent to get through. I think he has a decent size and athleticism combo, I think even ahead of Okoronkwo. But I think the things you worry about is definitely just the 1 year of production. He's another guy that I think, due to, you know, having a decent production last year, kind of looking the part, maybe being a little too small, that the combine is going to be huge for him, just in terms of, is this guy an athlete or is he not? And I think that's going to make a huge difference for him. And I think if he suddenly goes and runs as one of the better defensive ends, you know, I don't know, 4.6s or something, people are going to look back at his tape and say, oh, wow, I see it. You know, it's there. If he's running, you know, 4.8s, like a bigger defensive end, then he's going to see himself going day 3, probably.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's how I feel about him. You would say he's probably the most interesting in terms of his, you know, measurables and draft offseason with Okoronkwo. When I think I nail his name,
Okoronkwo.
Okoronkwo.
Obanaya.
Obanaya.
Yeah.
Okoronkwo. Yeah. Here we go. Would you say those two are the most interesting come just pure combine / pro days?
Yeah, I think those are the two guys that it's going to make the biggest difference as far as, are they an athlete, are they not? It's going to make the difference of 2 rounds for them.
Okay. And, you know, before we get into, I think I can say Jason's maybe favorite guy and maybe could be, maybe
if it's the right as guy. Well,
With, you know, here at Lockdown Bills and, you know, Sam Hubbard, did want to bring up that the big game is here and it's time to cash in at mybookie.ag. If you haven't checked them out, it's a perfect weekend with the Super Bowl here. I mean, if you have a hunch on who's going to win the game or, you know, even what color Gatorade's going to be dropped on the coach here at the end of the game, log in, check it out. Get in on the action. You can bet many different things. You know, just lay down some money and be a part of it. It makes the game more interesting, especially if you're rooting one way or the other. You know, get in on that. Lots of, you know, there's thousands of people betting different, you know, different things about this game. So, you know, get in on the action. You know, that's why I urge you to check out my bookie. They win, you get paid. You know, there's no better way to, you know, to sit and, you know, watch this game. Join some free gear. There's a lot of stuff going on over there. You know, use promo code Locked On. And, you know, they'll give you, you know, if you join with $100, they'll give you 150 bankroll to play with. So 1.5 times your money. So get in on that, play, win, and get paid, you know, and getting into your, I think, like I said, your favorite guy, Sam Hubbard. What is he, your favorite guy? And what can you tell us about him? Junior defensive end, 6'5", 265 from one of Ohio State's many good defensive ends.
Yeah. So he might be my favorite guy in terms of where I think he's going to go. It's hard to say what exactly I like about him besides that I think that he fits the bill. He has the right size at the, you know, 6'5", 260s. He looks mightily athletic, and I think part of it has to do with apparently he came to Ohio State as a 205-pound safety.
That's what I read.
Which seems insane that they recruited a 6'5", 205-pound safety.
Khalil Mack, though, right? I mean, it happened.
Yeah. No, but, I mean, that's a tall, tall guy, and if you see him now – you know, he's definitely got more of that, you know, that Bosa body than he's got that Floyd body.
Right.
He was pretty productive as a college player, had 7 and then 3.5. And then his freshman year had 6.5 sacks, playing really well, spelling Joey Bosa while he was still there.
Had a great Cotton Bowl too, right?
Yeah. Had a great Cotton Bowl. But people think that he's been inconsistent. Obviously, I haven't watched every play of him, but people think that he comes in out of games a little bit. You know, part of it might have to do with the fact that they had 4 NFL defense ends on that team this year.
Right. I'd say that's a little bit to do with it.
With Tyquan Lewis, Nick Bosa being the best one of them all isn't even eligible yet.
Wow.
So, you know, you really had to come in and out of it. Really didn't get a feel as far as playing every down. So he's a hard one in some ways to sort of gauge because of the rotation, because of the fact that he played on all-star defense and all-star defensive line where maybe some things came a little easier. But you can definitely see all of the tools as far as beating tackles, getting to the quarterback. He might come to the combine as a really, really good athlete that's going to surprise people. And I know every year white guy comes in and surprises people, you know, oh, he's so sneaky athletic. But if you watch like a minute of tape, it's like very obvious that he's one of the more athletic, good sized defensive ends in this class. And I would really like him as far as maybe a day 2 guy.
Yeah, that's where I'm eyeing. And obviously we know we think Bradley Chubb's better, but we're talking about realistic prospects for the Bills, especially with picks 53 and 56. Some of these guys aren't going to be there, and I'm still not sold on using 21 or 22 there at the defensive end spot based on, once again, check out the roster breakdown series, but based on what could happen there. Could change when we do part 2, though, but I really like him. Do you think he should have stayed in school, though? That's the one thing I was reading. Like, could he have boosted himself to, like, top 20 next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think a double-digit sack season would have put him there for sure. Yeah,
I agree. I think he should have stayed, but I think he saw some of his teammates leaving and he didn't know how good the team would be. Getting into, you know, another guy I know is very high on your list for where he's going to go, and probably his rivals for you, right, with Hubbard would be Harold Landry from Boston College. You know, defensive end, outside linebacker, can really rush passer, 6'3", 250. I think – I don't know if he – is him or Hubbard your favorite, but I know they were both up there, right?
Yeah, I think Landry is probably my favorite player of the two. There's a lot of sort of top 20 buzz going around Landry, depending on how he tests out and how he interviews.
Well, tell us why, because that's interesting to me. What do you see that makes him top 20?
So he's just a really great athlete. He's really explosive. He gets off the ball really quick, and then he has the bend and the flexibility that you like rather than a stiff pass rusher. you can just see it, and he gets to the quarterback so quickly. These guys aren't even out of their stances by the time he gets there. Did some 4-3 and did some stand-up. And really, you know, last year only had 5 sacks, but 2016 had 16.5 and really probably should have left at that point because, you know, staying on with a 7-6 Boston College team just doesn't really help your draft stock unless he was going to sack the quarterback 20 times that year. Another thing that I really like is people have questioned as far as because of his size, his ability to stop the run. But I really like the way that he plays it. He's really good at extending in his arms and just finding the ball carrier, you know, kind of feeling the play out, especially when it comes outside.
Talk to us about his 48 tackles for loss. It's got to be in the run. Like, tell us a little bit about, you know, that special numbers, Khalil Mack style, you know, specialty at not just rushing the passer, which he was able to do. He took the bet that we were just talking about to me, you know, the Sam Hubbard bet, and lost it. So that's to me what, you know, why Hubbard maybe, you know, was thinking about players like Landry. You know, maybe I'm going to come out and not, you know, play on a team that might be on the downfall. But 48 tackles for a loss is, tell us, you know, what that could mean, and you know, probably why advanced statistics will boost him up the board for that.
Yeah, so I found a few specific plays that were really interesting for him. Again, when you see the sweep play or the stretch play, he does a really good job of extending, seeing around the tackle or the tight end, and being able to just shed the guy and pick the side where the running back goes, which I think, you know, it's a count as stuffs or tackles for loss in a lot of these plays.
Yep.
I also saw another play that was really clever. I just remember it out of the back of my head. They were running option, a read option against him, and the quarterback kept the ball, and he came and like faked a dive inside and kind of just stayed and hugged on the tackle. The quarterback just thought he was free, and then he just jumped out of nowhere and just crushed this guy. He basically just like faked the quarterback out of his fake, and it was like a really amazing play.
So like a Devin and Clowney play, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, and he didn't take his helmet off or anything. Right. But the quarterback thought for sure. He looked up and he's like, that guy's going at the running back. He's probably going to tackle a guy without the ball. And then by the time he looked up again, he was down by Harold Landry. So I think he's a real – from what I saw, he looks like a smart player. He's an explosive player. The big thing is going to be his size. And I think especially in the Bill sense, which I think I'll give you a question to you. Like,
okay.
If he's maybe more on the 3-4-ish pass rusher sort of side of things, just due to his size and his height, where maybe you could play him in the 4-3 and maybe he's more of a situational pass rusher. Is that a guy you think would fit on this team? Do you think that's a guy we need? I know Jerry Hughes is sort of that same sort of makeup.
Similar. I don't love the fit. I think we're looking for a pure 4-3 defensive end, like a couple of the other guys we've talked about.
Yeah.
I think, you know, obviously I don't know how good Landry can develop into being. I mean, or take good football players anywhere across the field. You know, with that out of the way, I mean, I think we struggled to use Lorenzo. I don't know. I don't think McDermott loves that type of hybrid. He likes hybrid defensive backs, which seems to be his like favorite thing ever.
Right.
Likes a little position versatility in the linebacking core. Not much though. Still, he still has his guys that he likes at weak, strong and middle. And I mean, he'll move defensive ends inside occasionally for a pass rush. We saw from Watson. I don't think he does I don't think he's the 3-4 pass rusher guy, stand him up, you know, Rex Ryan style with, you know, he plays a little 4-3 over, likes that position versatility. I actually thought as he used Lorenzo a little bit better in the season, so him and, you know, he learned as well as Leslie Frazier. So I do think that maybe they've learned from a little bit of, you know, standard players. But I think the one position that I think the Bills would be looking for is a pure 4-3 defensive end, because they do have a few of those guys. If they keep Lorenzo, Jerry's obviously always going to be there. They already moved Shaq jumping inside. I think that they could use a pure 4-3 guy.
Yeah, and that would – I'd be a little – I just want to get to the quarterback.
I don't think that means Harold Landry isn't.
No, I don't think that keeps him out of it. And, you know, you gain 10 pounds and maybe you look like a different type of player. You get that NFL muscle on you. But I think the way that he played with his hand in the ground and played and set the edge, like, I think he's smart enough and already plays the position pretty well. I'm just not sure that he's at the size right now that would be ideal. So, you know, that might be a risk as far as taking him. Right. But just the pass rushing potential and, just the athleticism, like, it's very hard for me to see that and think there's no way that we can fit that on the team.
Of course. If, once again, good players are good players, and you're going to find a way to make that work. I do think in a perfect world, even though, you know, you might not like the players as much, but like a Marcus Davenport at his height, potential weight could be a fit. And then, like, that's why I like Sam Hubbard, you know, 6'5", 265 is what I see him at. I think that's a more natural fit for what we're looking for here. And then potentially maybe even a guy next that we've brought up a tiny bit in Tyquan Lewis from Ohio State, 6'4", 265, another senior on that loaded defensive end that we've gotten into a little bit. You know, quickly, you know, as, you know, coming to the end, what can you tell us about Tyquan?
Yeah, so he's got good size, maybe a little shorter than you want, but 6'3", 260 is going to probably get it done. And it looks like he really carries it well. It looks like a maybe a bigger guy, not like a pure muscle guy like Davenport looks sometimes, but, you know, it's easier for those tall guys to look like that. Was really productive at Ohio State, despite, again, playing in sort of a rotation. Had 7 sacks last year, 8 the year before, 8 the year before. So he figures out how to get to the quarterback. I would say that the questions at this point about him are just the athleticism. He doesn't look like an elite athlete.
Right.
He plays a little stiff, like guys I had, you know, mentioned before. I don't always love that. He's not the explosive type, but he does have a history of getting to the quarterback. He played in a big system, was obviously a high type of recruit. So he's another guy that, you know, keep saying it, that combine is going to be important to him, and whether he's an above average athleticism for his size or not. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how people take his tape, because that defensive line just dominated. And even because they had so many defensive ends and defensive tackles, you know, you get your rest and you can come in and really pin your ears back and just go for the quarterback. So I'll be interested to see what people, what scouts and teams take out of what he's got. I don't think he's going to do anything in athleticism to make him rise a crazy amount. I would guess that he is a third or fourth type round type pick. I think he's got enough production, enough size that he's not going to go lower than that. But I don't think he's going to do anything from this point forward that makes people really jump out of their seats, because there's guys ahead of him that we had just talked about that I think are going to show up at the combine and really wow people.
Yeah, I think he has one of those opposite of some of the guys where he has like a low, you know, a really low floor. Or excuse me, a really high floor and a low ceiling, to where I think he's pretty much slotted late third, fourth. And someone could really like him and take him in the mid third, or, you know, maybe falls to the middle fourth. But I think that's kind of be where he's going to be slotted. He's going to be able to bring situations to your team immediately. And, you know, that's a guy I'd like and not have to waste too many, you know, assets on. A guy at 96, if we have an address, 95 or 96, based on what Philadelphia does Sunday. But a guy I really like in that range, potentially even – no, in the fourth round if need be. But I really he's a guy I'm going to look to if we haven't addressed position at free agency and didn't take one of those guys we've talked about today. He's going to be the first guy jumping out to me. He's like, all right, let's take a swing on him at 96, because I'd at least like to add him to the team. And I think we have time for one more player that I wanted you to, you know, really get into just for a moment to wrap up this awesome defensive end breakdown. You know, from Wake Forest, Duke Ejiofor. Help me out there. Was I close?
Ejiofor, just drop the I.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what everybody has said. I'm, you know, anybody could be pronouncing it wrong, but that's what the Wake Forest people seem to say.
Yeah, I've heard it a couple different ways, so I, you know, I always like to learn it and get it right. Like, I just can't stand getting Marshall Darius wrong. Get into him a little bit. You know, he's an interesting guy. I've seen him all across the board from the second to the fourth round. 6'4", 270, another guy that could fit that body type for McDermott.
Yeah, he's a guy I really like. I don't think there's anything that super wows you, but as you had just mentioned with Tyquan Lewis, I think he's the guy I would probably explain the most as a high floor, sort of low ceiling guy. I wouldn't even say his ceiling's that low. He's got the good size. He has production in college. I believe he had 25 sacks in his career, 7 last year and 10.5 the year before. He's just a really solid player. He shows good pass rush moves. You see it all the time. He's right there solid in terms of size and speed. I don't think he's going to be a guy that comes in and runs really low. I think he is what he is as far as that goes, which is a solid guy. I think he's going to fit in just fine as a 4-3 defensive end. And he's looks like he's got a pretty good motor as far as just not giving up on plays. And I think that's what you usually see in a guy with, you know, 25 sacks and the ACC. Wake Forest isn't exactly a power college, but every single week they go against the good teams, you know, depending on if Syracuse is good that year. So I really like Duke Ejiofor. In like the third round, I would be really happy to take him. I think he would be a really good addition to a defensive end rotation at first. And, you know, 7 last year, 10.5 the year before, he's shown that he can get to the quarterback. I wouldn't limit him to not being a double-digit sack guy. I wouldn't put a bet on it. But I think he's a guy that has good potential and could really be a good pick on day two. I think from some of the other guys I saw who are just the superior athletes, I'm not sure round two, that might be too high for him. But starting at round three, he's a guy I think you'd like to have on your team.
I agree with that. He's definitely in the camp with, you know, like I just said about Tyquan Lewis, he's right there. If we haven't made a move earlier on in the draft, call it with the first 4 of our picks. I don't know that he'll make it down to 95 or 96. I still think he could do enough in the draft process and his current production to stick in the third, upper third round, late second seems to be where these type of guys go to me every year. I really see like a late second on him, you know, as, you know, playoff teams get a chance to be like, yeah, let's add him. We have enough talent to where we can, you know, work with him, you know, in the 60s, call it the 60s to 80s range before we're able to get in there and select him. So unfortunately, he'd probably be in the camp of at 56 needing to overdraft one of these guys because I still don't love a fit at 21-22. So at 56, and if you're looking at a defensive end, you might have to, you know, who knows?
But we're not afraid to move around.
No, that's true.
We'll trade back if we think the value's there.
Yep. One trade back from 22, say you pick 21, one trade back at 22, just gets you in range for a couple more of these guys that I'm envisioning not being able to have a chance at because of where they're going to go in the late second, early third, or having to overdraft them. So, which, you know, overdrafting is in the eye of the scout or the beholder in terms of, well, what looks overdrafting to me based on scouting boards, you know, big boards, all the board compilations is not overdrafting. If the Bills think, you know, he's the right fit at 56, that's really not paying that much. So
right.
Really any of these guys are guys that, you know, very much so in play for the Bills beside probably Chubb. I don't believe we'd be trading up to 4th to take Chubb. Other than that, I really, you know, could see any of these guys as potential fits. I'd hope at 53 and 56 for a lot of them, but if they really love the potential, you know, someone, you know, making a swing and a deal at 21 or 22 or trading back, maybe there's a lot of great potential at this defensive end spot. One that has a lot of movement up and down. So in your opinion, you did the roster breakdown series yesterday.
Yeah.
What could you see happening at the defensive end spot to wrap up our segment?
I think day two is definitely in play. Round one they'd have to really love a guy. And I would say probably Landry or Davenport would probably be the guys you would be looking at. If not, the way I'm reading this right now and the way things look like they're going to shake out, I would guess that there will be probably 2 or 3 of these guys, which is less than normal, going in the first round. And we're going to see a big rush on a big run on pass rushers, probably starting in the 40 to 45 range, where you could see 4 or 5 of the guys we just talked about go, you know, in the next 20 picks. So I do think that maybe to land one of these guys, most of these guys, we're going to have to use at least one of the first 2 rounds of picks. And most of these guys I would be happy about.
I agree with that. And really good segment. Love doing the draft breakdown part 1 series because I'm really looking forward to this year to going back and looking at what I said, hearing what I've said, hearing what you've said, and kind of comparing that to our part 2 segment coming up in April, maybe even sooner. We'll see when we roll out the part 2 segments, but getting through the defense now as we still have a linebacker to do. So I'm envisioning that being our next series next week at the linebacker spot, breaking it. I'd like to keep it inside and outside together.
I believe that's what we settled on. It just makes sense at this point, especially from draft evaluation, because guys move around.
Right. Between and then the we'll technically so need do safeties, although that's going to be a tough one with the strength of our team, but we do have a need for a third safety, you know, so it'll be a good segment as well on safeties. stay tuned to our series next week. Once again, going to get into linebackers. Nate and Jason will break it down. We'll be on Tuesdays as well doing our commentary show, what's going on around the league, see if there's any big quarterback news again, see if anything happens here, maybe talk about the Super Bowl for a brief moment, see what we think about, you know, whatever New England did to come back and win. And we will obviously follow up the show on the roster breakdown linebackers with our show here today that we did. So thank you very much for tuning in. From Locked On Bills, as always, I'm Kevin Nasseri. That's Jason Channon.
Thanks, guys. For a long, long year, stole many a man's soul of faith. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Me damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his face.